Daf is Daf Kuf Chaf Ches. So we got to the last few lines of Kuf Chaf Zayin Rebeis. The Gemara had been addressing the Machlokas in the Mishnah about the Nishchata Behema, when the animal was shechted and there's the blood on the neck. Well, that blood that touches the neck, is that going to also be Machshir the Aver that's being medalled? Remember, we're talking about a case where the Aver is dangling. It's disconnected, but slightly connected. So is that down that's on the neck, is that going to be considered being Machshir the Aver itself? So we had a suggestion yesterday from Rabbah, which is a question whether or not the Behema becomes Nasas Yad Le'Aver, the relationship between the two of them. And then we had the opinion of Abaye, who said the Machlokas is when there's a Oches Katan Ve'ein Gadol Ole'imo. If you were to take the Katan, the smaller part, and lift it up, and the Gadol, the bigger part, won't come with it, meaning the bigger part, the cow is going to snap right off when I lift it up by the leg. So that's the Machlokas, whether or not that's enough to be able to view there being a Hechsher on the Behema to transfer to the Hechsher of the Katan. So that was Abaye's suggestion. So Rabbi Yochanan, it goes along the same lines, five lines up, on Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez. V'af Rabbi Yochanan Savar, if you grab onto the katan and the gadol, the bigger part, won't come with it, it's going to snap right off. Kamiflagi, that's the machlokas here. The Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know this? Because Rabbi Yochanan is Rami, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. He had created a stira. He found the stira between Rabbi Meir. Mi ama Rabbi Meir, ose ochet bakatan vein gadol olimo harehu kamo. Does Rabbi Meir really hold that if you grab the small part and the bigger part won't come with it, we still view them as being connected, and the heksher and the behema works for the heksher and the aver? Is that really true? Reminu asks Rabbi Yochanan from the Gemara, ochel shenifras umu'ura b'miktas. You have some type of food that has been detached, but still slightly connected to its source. So then the lacha is, Rabbi Meir Omer, im oches b'katan v'gadol ole imo harehu kamo. If when you scrab the smaller part, the larger part will come along with it, meaning it's still attached enough. So then we view them and come out, we view them as being connected. Vimlav, if not, if you were to grab the katan and the gadol were to snap off, eino kamo. So we see clearly that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that oches b'katan v'ein gadol ole imo is eino kamo. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, muchlefes hashita, let's switch around the shitas, and from switching them around, Rabbi Meir comes out to say that oches b'katan v'ein gadol olimo is harehu kamahu. So the Gemara now challenges Rabbi Yochanan, is that really true? Umay kushu, what was your problem here? Who says this was a steer in the first place? Dilma shani leili Rabbi Meir bein tivol yom l'shar tumos. Maybe Rabbi Meir distinguishes between different levels of tumah. Rashi explains around four narrow lines down, Dilma af agav demekel Rabbi Meir b'tivol yom, even though Rabbi Meir is mekel. That even though by Tivol Yom, which is only Shehu Tuma Midrabanan, he's Machmirhu, the Tuma Chamura, he's not going to go so far by Tuma Chamura. I mean, since Tivol Yom is only a Dindirabanan, so there he's okay that even Ochet Bakatan, Vein Godo Imo, it's already Kumo. We can be Mekah by Tivol Yom. But when it comes to a real Tuma, which is Tuma Chamura, there he wouldn't say Ochet Bakatan, Vein Godo Olimo, he would not say Kumo, he would say Eino Kumo. That's the difference. Now, this is a very important Rashi, because Rashi it says that Tivol Yom is a Dindir Abanan, which is not true. Rabbi Kieger points out in Gilyan HaShas that Tivol Yom is certainly a Dindiraisa. It's just Tumah Klusha, just a lower level. That's really what Rashi should have said. So unclear what Rashi means by calling it a Dindir Abanan, but clearly there is a difference between a Tivol Yom and real Tumah Chamura. So that could have been a distinction. There's no contradiction. Rabbi Meir is referring to two different scenarios. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, no, Tani, the Brisa tells us that Rebbe Omer, this is Rebbe, not Rebbe Meir, but Rebbe Omer, Echad Tivol Yom, Echad Shar Tumos. That Rebbe equates the halachas of Tuma to the halachas of Tivol Yom, which means you cannot distinguish between these two cases. Gemara says, Dilma l'Rebbe lo shanile, the Rebbe Meir shanile. Maybe that Brisa is only according to Rebbe. Maybe only in Rebbe's world do we have to equate Tivol Yom with regular Tuma. But maybe in the world of Rebbe Meir, there can be a distinction and there is no contradiction. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, L'divrei Rebbe, in the world of Rebbe, so then Mukhlaf is a shita of Rabbi Meir. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan's comment was only if Rabbi Meir assumed like Rebbe that there is an equation between Tivol Yom and Tumah. And in that understanding, he says, Mukhlaf is a shita. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan does hold, that Rabbi Meir holds, that Ochit Bekatan Vein Gadol Ola Imao Harehu Kamahu. So now the Gemara is moving on to a third suggestion of what the machlokas is, whether or not when a person shechs an animal, whether that's going to be machshir the aver medulal or not. So it comes on Rava. Rava says, Amar b'yesh yad l'tumah v'ein yad l'hechshir kemifri. everybody agrees with regards to Tumah. So then if the animal's a Yad, so the animal, the Tumah is going to transfer from the Yad, from the Yad, which is the Behemah here, to the Aver. But there's a question whether that's also true by a Hechsher. If I'm Machshir the Yad, is that necessarily going to Machshir the Guf itself? That's the debate here. So Mar Savar Yesh Yad Lo Tumah, V'ein Yad Lo Hechsher. Even though you're right by a Tumah, there's a concept of a Yad can transfer Tumah to the main item, but it doesn't transfer by a Hechsher. However, Mar Savar, the other opinion felt, Yesh Yad Lo Tumah, Ula Hechsher. Just like there's a Yad with regards to Tumah, if something Tumah touches the Yad, it touches the Guf itself, so too if something's Machshir the Yad, in this case it's going to be the Behemah, touches the Yad, it's going to be Machshir the Guf itself. And this is a very important machlokas between the relationship of Hechsher and Tumah. We had a Gemara earlier in the Perek that Hechsher is Tchilas Tumah. It's the beginning process of Tumah, so that's part of this machlokas as well. Okay.
How much does it have to cover the blood or the liquid?
Just a little bit. Just a small, yeah.
Even a little bit already.
Even a little bit, exactly.
The whole group is already
blood. Right. So there are papas, our papa says, Behechsher kimiflagi, Behechsher kodem machshava kimiflagi. The machlokas here is if the Hechsher took place before machshava. We know that in order for something to be susceptible to tumah, you have to machshav it to ochel. So let's say the item was first hechsher, meaning liquid touched it, but only afterwards that I machshava for it to be food. So can I say now that retroactively from the point it was hechsher, is that enough? Or only if I'm first machshir it for food, and then it's machshir, or even if it's machshir, and then there's a machshava. That's the question. Behechshir, where the hechshir takes place, kodem machshava kimitlagi, ditnan, the Mishnah tells us. Mishnah is actually a toseft in uktim. It says as follows. Amar Rabbi Huda says, Kachayor Rabbi Akiva, shona. This is how Rabbi Akiva taught. Shona chalav shchuta, bekfarim, tsarach machshava, vein tsarach hechshir. When it comes to the fat of a shechted animal, you need a machshava. Why is that? We'll read in Rashi in just a second. So it requires a machshava, but it doesn't require a hechsher. Why does it require a hechsher? Shekvar hechsher b'shchita. Because when you shecht it and the blood was dripping down, even though at that moment the chalev wasn't yet edible, but the blood existed, and now afterwards I decided to eat the chalev, so now I made the chalev into food. So we see clearly that you can have a hechsher prior to there being a machshava. So Amarti Lefanov, I said to him, Limadatenu Rabbeinu taught us Ulshin, which is grass. She locked in Vedichan Lebehema. I took them, I washed them for the animals. So there was a Hechsher with the washing. Venimlach Aleim Laadam. Then I decided, you know what? I want to have it for human consumption. So now there's a Machshava afterwards. Tzrichos Hechsher Sheni. You have to have a second Hechsher. Meaning this case, Hechsher doesn't work. Kodim Machshava. There's a stira. And the Chazar Rabbi Akiva Leo Shonik Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Akiva retracted, and he embraced the opinion of Rabbi Huda to say, you're right, you need a Hechsher before Machshava doesn't work. You first need Machshava, and then you need a Hechsher after the Machshava. So firstly, just first side point, understanding the Metzias here, how come Chalev, the fat of food, does require Machshava to make it food? So Rashi writes, Chalev, Ein darchel ochlog b'kfarm. They wouldn't eat fat in the villages. Why? Mibnesha am muat. They were very small people, a very small amount of people living in the villages. V'yeshlem basar harbi. They had plenty of meat. L'tzarch sipukin. So why would you have to go out and eat the fat? People much rather the basar than the chalev. So they wouldn't eat the fat. Aval b'krachim. When it came to the big cities, she'am meruba, where there's a high demand and very little supply, v'yelem basar l'chol tzarech, ochlin osa ayde t'chak. They would eat the chalev al yide t'chak. So in the Krachim, where the supply was very low, so meat didn't meet demand, so even the Chalev was already assumed to be edible. You don't need Machshav in the Krachim. In the Kfarim, where they wouldn't typically eat the Chalev because they had plenty of Basar, you would require a Machshav for the Chalev. Either way, what comes out here is there are two stages. The first, initially, the Brisa understood, Tosefta understood that you can accept a Hechsher prior to Machshava, and then Rabbi Kivit retracted and says, no, you need the Machshava prior to the Hechsher. So that's the machlokas, the Gemara says. Back inside the Gemara, Mar Savar la kimikara, Mar Savar la kimichazara. One holds like the first thought, which was that you can have a hechsher prior to the machshava, and the other opinion felt you cannot have a hechsher prior to the machshava. That's the machlokas. In other words, when you shech the animal, in our case in the Mishnah, there's blood there. But it wasn't yet edible because you didn't yet detach it. It wasn't yet a machshava. So that's going to be the question, whether that machshava after the hechsher will allow the hechsher of the blood to be good enough or not. Gemara now makes a fifth suggestion, the machlokas. Rav Acha, Braid, Rav Ika, Amar, Ben Niskanea, Hadam, Ben Simen, Lesimen, Kamithuki. So let's say the blood that drips on it during, between Simen, Lesimen, is that blood going to be considered a Hechsher or not? So there's just an important din here that not all dam is machshir. It has to be dam of hariga, the blood that caused the death. If I have a little blood in my finger here, that's not a dam hariga. Dam maka. Dam maka is not machshir. It has to be dam hariga that's going to machshir something, food, lekabel tuma. So now you have blood that came out being similar simon. That blood during before it died, it didn't die yet. But it's only dam maka. So is that blood being similar simon, is that going to be enough to machshir the food? So the Gemara explains, the machlokas is tolly on as follows. Mar Savar Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchila V'Adsof. The Ma'is Shchita is considered from A to Z. That all is one long process. And therefore, Hai Dam Shchita Hu. Even though the animal may not have been dead, Bein Timon L'Simon, it's still part of the same process. And that's called Dam Hariga and would be Machshir. But Mar Savar, the other opinion felt, Ein L'Shchita El L'Sof. The Chalosh Shchita only takes effect at the end. So only the blood that comes at the last moment is called Dam Hariga. Any dam beforehand, being similar simon, is only called dam maka, and dam maka does not have the ability to machshir.
Wait, so he stopped in the middle, and he did one simon and he stopped. Is that the case?
It sounds like that there's only dam maka. There wasn't dam hariga. Let's say it was a dry shchita. All the dam came out being similar simon, and then when he finished it, there's no dam left or something like that.
It was still within the mind.
Exactly. So that dam that's there is only is that dam maka between similar simon or the dam is considered dam hariga. That's the machlokas. So then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi makes, I think we're up to number six now. Rav Ashi says the sixth explanation is Amar b'shchita machsheres v'lo dam kimiflagi. So the halach is Rav Shimon was of the opinion that shchita is machshir food, but blood is not machshir food. So in that assumption within Rabbi Shimon, so now when shchita is machshir, so take a look at Rashi who explains this. You see Rashi around five medium wide lines down, Rav Ashi Amar. Go in that Rashi four lines down. The first word is miflagi. So miflagi, Rabbi Meir Savar da machshir v'harei huchshir. Rabbi Shimon Latame, Damar Perek Sheni, Shchita Machsheres V'lo Dam. That's the question. The Rabbi Shimon holds that Shchita is Machshir the food. V'hai Eder, Kevin de la Mahani le Shchita la Hatiro Bachi. Since this Eder, this limb that's dangling, the Shchita doesn't affect it at all. V'afa Gav de Mahani le Tahareha, even though the Shchita does Metire the Eder, Mide Nevela, Lo Michshale le Tuma. It's not Machshir, because it does not matter. The time of the shchita machsher is why in general does Rabbi Shimon hold that a shchita is machsher food? Hainu mishum dekeven de mashulei ochle, since it makes it into a food, it makes it edible now, lirin het achila, it's mashulei nami ochle linin tumah. It also makes it susceptible to tumah. But v'hacha, by the aver, since the aver is medudal, the shchita doesn't affect the aver at all, leklamemer hachi, and therefore it's not going to affect it. In other words, they're arguing about the fact, can shchita be machsher a aver, even though it's not being matirat l'achila. That's the debate here, and that's going to define whether or not the shchita is machshir the eiver or not machshir the eiver. So Gemara asks the question, Bai Rabba, Beheme b'chayeha, mao sheteasa yad l'eiver. So interesting question. The Gemara is going to have a series of interesting questions here. Let's say you have two items that are attached. One item is tahor, one item is tameh, or it's susceptible to tumah. We know an animal, when it's alive, cannot become tameh. Beheme b'chayeha eino metameh. The Aver Medulda, however, even though it's attached, is able to become Tameh, because I machshir it to food. So now, it's disconnected, but it's connected. So let's say a sheretz touches the Behema Bechaya, which is alive. That doesn't become Tameh. But can that Tuma transmit itself and be Metameh the Aver, even though it's not touching it, but through this connection, through their veins, can it be Metameh the Aver, even though it's not Metameh the Behema itself? That's the Shaila that's being asked here, and we're going to see a few other examples of this. And the Gemara says, take it, we don't know. We don't know whether tuma can transmit itself through that which remains tahor. That's in essence the question. Okay.
Would it be the same case if one cow is touching another cow, a dead cow?
No, because they're not attached.
They're
touching.
They're touching, but not attached.
Here they're attached. So that's the difference.
So
too.
It's a yad.
Exactly. So Gemara doesn't have an answer for this. Gemara is now asking a similar question. Amar Abai says, Hare Amar, it says, we have a halacha, that kishus shenata ba'atit. You have a certain, cucumbers that are in the plant, and Rashi is it's being planted in a pot that's not that has no holes in it, which means it's viewed as disconnected from the ground. It's detached, there's no way, it doesn't nourish from the ground at all. Fine. So the din is, v'igdila, this cucumber begins to grow, v'yata chutz la'atit. Now it begins to grow, overgrow from the pot. While in a pot, so since it's detached from the ground, we know anything that's detached from the ground may become tameh. If it's attached to the ground, or it's being yonek, it's nourishing itself, it's nursing from the ground, that's called mechubar lekarka, and it cannot become tame. A tree can't become tame. Flowers can't become tame until it's detached. So while it's in the pot, which is a non-perforated pot, it's called detached, and it can become tame. The moment it overgrows now it's being yonek from the ground, it's called mechubar lekarka, so now it's mechubar lekarka, the whole plant, even that which is inside, all becomes tahor now. So that's what the Gemara says. If it's again higdila v'yata chutz la'atzitz, then the whole thing becomes tahora because it's being viewed as mechubar lekark. Comes along Amar Rabbi Shimon, v'chimat tiva l'tahir. What's the nature? How are you able to mitahir now the entire pot, even that which is in the pot that's not being yonik from the ground? Ella, he says, hatame betumaso v'tar betaraso. Depends. That which is overgrown, that half is tahor, because it's now yonik minakarka. And that which is in the atzitz, which is not yonik minakarka, remains tame. So you have a plant which is half tahor, half tummy. That's the situation according to Rabbi Shimon. On this sheet, the Rabbi Shimon asks Abai, Mao shitasa ya lechaverta. What happens if a sheretz touches the overgrown part of the plant, which is tahor? Could it now transmit its tumah through that tall part and make that which is inside the atzitz tummy? Same exact question. So it's connected, but even though it's touching something that can't become tamei, can it still transmit the tumah to make that which is inside the atzitz tamei? And the Gemara says here as well, similar question and a similar answer, it's a taker. We don't have an answer. Gemara says the next scenario. Similar idea, we're trying to create like half a case of half tumah, half tar cases. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Hare Amru HaMishtachav Elachatzi Delas Asra. A guy bows down, he worships a gourd, half of the gourd. The top half of the gourd is my God. So he bows down to the top half. So the top half is Usr, and the bottom half is not Usr. That's the din. Now, when it comes to something Usr Bana, if you look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the page, HaMashtachav Elachatzi Delas Asra Bana. So if I bow down, if someone bows down to a half a gourd, that's Usr Bana, that half. Mishim Avodazara. Uli Rabbi Shimon Isuri Hana E Metamin Tumas Ochlin. That which is Asr Bana, since I can't get Hana, which means I can't eat it, it's not called Ochel. Even though physically it's a gourd and physically it's edible, since halachically I can't eat it, it's Asr Bana, there's no Tumah. So the top half of the gourd, which is Asr Bana, is not Tameh, it's Tahor, because it's not food anymore. But the bottom half is still considered food and it can become Tameh. So the question is, you have half tumah, half tower gourd. By Rabbi Yirmiya asks a question. The question we've been asking now: Ma'u shetiasa yad lechaverta? If I'm now, let's say, a sheretz touches the top half of the gourd, which is asr bana, which remains tahor, and it touches the top half, can it now transmit tumah to the bottom half and make the bottom half, which is still mutter bana, which is still ochel, will it make that tameh? And the Gemara answers the same way. Take it. Next case. Amar Rabbi Rab Papa. Papa says, Hare Amru. Yichur shelteina. You have a branch, a fig branch, shenifshach, that begins to detach itself from the tree. However, it's ma'or b'klibas, it still remains attached a little bit to the tree. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks that since it's still attached to the tree, it's still mechubar a little bit, that's enough, and that's called mechubar lekarka, and that which is mechubar lekarka remains tahor. Chacham argi, chacham omrim, im yachal lechayos tahor. If it's able to live, meaning it's detached enough where it's still alive, so that's mechubar lekarka, it remains tahor. Vimlav, however, if it's not able to live, even though it might be physically attached, but it's not nourishing at all anymore, it's going to die, then that's called detacher, that's tamer. On this case, by Rav Papa, mao shiyase yad lechavero. Let's say you have a case, he creates a situation where there's two branches. You have branch A, which is breaking off, but it's attached enough where it still remains alive. Now, branch A is attached to branch B, which is also connected, but branch B, however, is detached enough that it doesn't get any life anymore. So they're all attached to each other, but branch A is still alive, and branch B can't live anymore. But they're all attached. So what happens if a sheretz touches branch A, which is attached, which means it's tower, can it transmit tumah to branch B, which is halachically detached since it can't live off this anymore? Same idea, transmitting tumah through something that is cannot be makabal tumah. The Gemara answers teku. And the final scenario of this questions is Amar Rabbi Zeira. Hare Amru, it says, very apropos to this week's parsha, next week's parsha, Evan Shebezavis. When you have a Evan Munugas, you have a white tzaras on the corner of the wall of the house. So the din is kishu cholitz, cholitz et kula. Let's say you have to remove that particular rock. So let's say your house was attached house. So you live in an attached house, so my wall and my neighbor's wall. So my wall has the tzaras on it. So even though the stone of mine is part of his stone, he's using the same stone as his wall on the other side of this wall, I remove the entire stone, both my side and his side together. But let's say I'm told I need to destroy my entire house. Kshu no seitz, I need to destroy the entire house. No seitz et shelo, I only have to destroy my half of the rocks, the half of the stones, and I can leave his half of the stone up. So that's the din. So now you have the question, in a situation where I only have to remove my half, only my half of the stone is tameh, but his half of the stone is tower, asks Rabbi Zeira, by Rabbi Zeira, ma'u shetase yad chaverta. Let's say a sheretz, or whatever it is, something touches his half of the stone, can that transmit tumah to my half of the stone? Same exact question, Gemara says, a teku, this is a teku as well. Okay. Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, mesa behema. We said in the Mishnah, if the animal dies, so then if there's an Aver Hamaduldal, so Rabbi Meir said this Aver is Tameh, because Aver Menachai, because Aver Meduldal was already cut off, already viewed as detached before the animal dropped dead, and it's not considered Aver Menah Nevela. Right? What happened? I have a cow. The cow has a leg that's dangling. So now the animal drops dead. Now it's a Nevela. So we don't view this Aver Meduldal as a Nevela because it already was considered detached before it died. That's called Aver Menachai. That was the din in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "My ika bein aver minachai le'aver shel nevelo." What's the nafkamina? Whether we view this aver as aver minachai, as detaching when the animal is still alive, or whether we view this as detaching when it was already in nevelo? What's the nafkamina? Either way, the aver is going to be metame. So the Gemara says, "Ika benayu basar haporish mimenu me'aver behema." If the flesh that separates from this aver, meaning what? Diglu basar parish me'aver minachai l'metame me'aver mina nevelo metame. So Aver Menachai itself is Tameh. And Aver Menanavela itself is Tameh. But the Basar, without the Aver, the Basar, flesh that came from an Aver Menachai, is not Metameh, as opposed to the Basar that comes from an Aver Menanavela is going to be Metameh. What?
Even a
Kazai. Even regardless of the mount. Regardless of the mount, right. Yeah, you see, look at Rashi. Lower down in Rashi, Ika Benayo Basar Parish Mina Aver. Lacherzman, after time the flesh came off. Basar parish minachai lo metame elim kein have aver im hagidim v'atzamos kidiyal yalaf lakam. You need the limbs and the various bones and the gidim v'kol shkein, and certainly basar parish mina aver minachai, and certainly the flesh without those is not going to be metame. But me'aver mina nevela metame da'ika kazayis nevela. When it comes to nevela, we don't care there about there being an aver or a gidim or a tamas. All we care about is there being a kazayis. And if there's a kazayis, a basar from a nevela, that will be metame. That's the din. I don't know what's a chiddush. I don't know much about it. It's all too much.
No, the aver is so high that you take, it's tamer, but you take pieces of it and it's not. It's like a.
Wait. That's because of our ignorance, not because anything. We have nothing to. No frame of reference, right? So the Gemara then says, Aver minachai dimetame micro. What's the pasuk that an aver minachai in general? If an aver comes off a live animal, that's mitame. So, my kra, Amr Vihuda, Amr Rav, Vichiyamos mina behema, when something dies from the behema. Meaning, not only the animal itself dies, but something that comes from the behema, even an aver mina behema, that's yamos, that aver, that dead, that will also create tuma. So, Gemara says, wait a second, you can't use that pasuk for this din of aver mina chai, Vichiyamos mina behema, because haimi baile lichad idach Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav. It's needed for a different chiddush of Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav, which is what? When the animal dies, mixes behema mitama, mixes behema lo mitama, ain't mitama. There's certain types of animals that are mitama, and certain types of animals that are not mitama. Which type of animal is not mitame? A trefa sheshachta. If you have a trefa, an animal that's a trefa, and a person goes ahead and shechs it, so that type of animal will not be mitame. It's already a trefa. Fine. The shechita is matar the trefa. So we learn that from mina behema, only some types of behemas are mitame, but not all types of behemas. So imkain, so it's not available to teach me the din of aver menachai. So Gemara says, imkain, if that's the case, lichto rachmana mi behema. My min ha-behema, so that's Shema Amina Tart. We learn two different dinim. One is that Aver Menachai is Metame, and number two is that Trefa, not all animals that are going to be Tame, a Trefa that's Shechted is not going to be Tame. Ask the Gemara. Now, Ihachi, that's the case. That even even Miktas bin a behema that dies in Metame, meaning Aver Menachai is Tame, Afilu Basarnami. So once you're saying, this is a part of Ricky's question, once you're saying that which comes from an animal that dies, dead material, that comes from a live animal, like Aver Menachai is Tame, so why say only an Aver? Why not even the Basar? Even Basar alone, a Kazai's a Basar should be Metame. So the Gemara says that Lo Sagadai Tuch, no one would ever think such a thing. Desani, the Baraita tells us, Yachol Yeh Basar Parish Menachai Tame, one might think if flesh alone, without there being any Avarim, if Basar comes from a live animal, that should be Metame. Tamalomer, Vichiyomus Menabahema. That's the source of Eir Menachai. What do we learn from Misa? Ma Misa she'eno oseh chalifin af kol she'eno oseh chalifin. Theory of Rabbi Yossi. Just like Misa is irreversible, you can't replace it, so to all that which is irreversible is metame. But since basar, if basar comes off, the animal is going to regenerate, the body is going to regenerate it, there is chalipin, therefore there's no tumah. As opposed to aver menachai, if an aver falls off, we know, of course, an animal is not going to regrow an aver, so it has to be similar to misa, that's not irreversible, so to an aver menachai, only an aver, which is irreversible. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi.
But it's comparing what's left over with what you're taking out. Meaning the basar you're taking out is never going to regenerate.
In a chanami, but it will be replaced by something else.
Yeah, but you're comparing every minachai that is not regenerating, right? Which to a basar which is not regenerating, not what's left over. Meaning, it's saying that when you take out a leg, it's never going to grow back.
Never grow back, but the skin now, or the flesh, the basar will grow back, yeah. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer Behema, he has a different drasha that the Pasuk says, Mina Behema. So we're using not the word Misa as the source, but really the word Behema as the source. And what do we learn from Behema? Ma Behema, Gidim Vatsamos, of animals full of sinews and full of bones. So Af Kol Gidim Vatsamos, so to something else that has sinews and bones, which is namely an Aver, to the exclusion of a Basar. I mean, everyone agrees that a Basar is excluded. They're just darshaning it slightly differently. The Gemara is going to bring the Nafkaminas. Rabbi Omer Behema, he also used the word behema like Rabbi Kiva, but he defines it more. Ma behema basar gidim v'atzamos. You need meat and then gidim v'atzamos. Af kol basar gidim v'atzamos. So there are three different shittas how to explain why basar alone is excluded and only Eiver Menachai is metame. So Gemara now wants to know what's the nafkaminas between. They sound very similar between these three shittas of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Kiva. The last two opinions, Rabbi Kiva said, Gidim Vatamos. Rabbi said, Basar, Gidim Vatamos. What's an afkamina? Ika ben Ayo, says Gemara, Arkuva. The Arkuva, that part of the bottom leg of the animal, that's the difference. If you look at Rashi explains because the Rekuva has no Basar, has Gidim Vatamos, but there is no Basar there. So according to Rabbi Yossi, who needs Rabbi, who requires Basar, the Rekuva actually would not be a din of Tumas Eiver Menachai. Rabbi Kiva, it would satisfy because he doesn't need Basar, he just needs Gidim Vatamos. Then the Gemara wants to know, Bain the Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Ma'ika Benayu. What's the difference between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Kiva said, Kidin Vatsamos. Rabbi Yossi says, Eino Ose Chalipin. So what's the Nafkamina? Amrapapa Kulya Veniv Sasai Ma'ika Benayu. So these parts of the animals, the kulya is what, the kidney, and the nifsifayim is the lip. So then, no, isn't the kulya the kidney though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the kidney is in the lip. So then it says these things do not replace itself, they cannot reverse itself. So there's no chalipin, but they are considered, so one second, look at Rashi. Rashi explains here. Ben Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, Glili, Ikabanayo, Kulya, Veniv, Sasayim, Te'enos, and Chalipin. They don't replace themselves. Ve'im Bam Etzim, there's no bone either. The Rabbi Yossi, Havi, Aver. This is a Aver according to Rabbi Yossi, because Enos is Chalipin. No, I'm sorry. It's called. Therefore, it's considered Aver. Since it can't replace itself, it is considered an Aver. But Rabbi Kiva, since it's not there is no bone there in these parts of the body, so it's not considered an Aver according to Rabbi Kiva. Those are the Nafkaminas. So Gemara now brings an almost identical brisa, but in a different application. Tani Nami Hachi Shrotzim Kai Gavna. Same idea by Shrotzim. Yachel Basar Parish Minas Shrotzim. One may think that flesh that comes from a sheretz, yea, Tami should be Tami like the sheretz itself. Tami Olomer Bimosam. Only way it dies. What's the drasha? Ma Misa Sheinu Osa Chalipin. Just like Misa is irreversible. Af Kol Sheinu Osa Chalipin. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Glili. As opposed to Basar, which is Osa Chalipin. So Basar is not Metame Sheretz. Rabbi Kiva Omer Sheretz Ma Sheretz Gidim Vatzamos. Af Kol Gidim Vatzamos. You need Gidim. The Basar doesn't have Gidim Vatsamos, and therefore Basar of a Sheretz is not Metame. And Rabbi Omer Sheretz, Ma Sheretz Basar Gidim Vatsamos, Afko Basar Gidim Vatsamos. Same exact structure, just different application. So what's an Afkamina? Same exact thing. Bein Rabbi Kiva, Ikibinayu, Arkuva, which doesn't have has bones but doesn't have Basar. Bein Rabbi Kiva Rotzig Lima Ikibinayu, Amar Papa Kulya Veniv Sasaim, which are Enos Echalipin but doesn't have an Etzim. So that's the same exact discussion. So Gemara wants to know, Tzricha, why do you have to teach a din by Sheretz? And the same din by the Tumah. Shouldn't we know the same exact dinim Meir Menachai and Sheretz, it should be the same halachas. Gemara says Tzricha. Because Di Ashmin, if we taught the case by Behema, Hainu Taima Delomatame, why is there no Tumma there? Michai Mishim Delomatame Bekadasha. Since the shear of a Aver is not a Kadasha. Kadasha is a size of a Sheretz, how big it has to be Metame. There's a certain Kula that you need a large shear for there to be Tumma of Aver Menachai, therefore there are leniencies by the case of a Behema and Aver Menachai. About Sheretz, which is Metame Bekadasha, Aim Latame Michaim, I might think that even the Basar of a Sheretz should be Metame as well, since a kadosh and matame kamashlam, we have to teach this brisa. V'yashmeinan sheretz mishum de lo matame b'masa lo matame mechayim. So by a sheretz is a certain kula. If you lift a sheretz but you don't touch the sheretz, you're carrying a box with the sheretz in it, you're not matame. So since that kula exists, there's no tumma of the basa either of the sheretz. About behema de matame b'masa, if you were to carry a behema that's dead, there would be tumma smasa. So there's a certain chumra ema to tatni mechayim. I would think even the basar of an animal should be a tame as well. Tzricha, therefore, need the psukim and the brisa to teach me. Even by a behema, they did eir mechayim. You need all the bossers excluded as well.